Boy, it's hard to believe that this is it. You know that? It has just come to a close too quick. And Pastor got ice cream, and I got fruit. Something's not right with that right there. How many like cantaloupe? You like cantaloupe? Really? How many can't stand cantaloupe? How many like watermelon? How many like strawberries? How many like, I'm not your honey. Stop that. How many like honeydew? There you go. I'm going to put that right there. About halfway. Could you take this to the refrigerator? Would you do that? There you go. It's leaking on me. Now, you promise not to eat this one? You got it? You don't like that, do you? You do. Hey, that's usually what you say at the altar, too. I do. And so there you go. Hey, and then I got my Florida iBob somebody gave me. And so I am set. Yeah, take a picture. I'm going to send it to my son. Yes. There you go. If you get an iPhone, that wouldn't happen like that. And there you go. How many are Apple people? You are. I bow before you, and so anyway, hey, thank you very much for letting me come, and I always enjoy it. I take it for granted sometimes. My pastor of the Longview Baptist Temple in Longview, Texas, my dad pastored there for almost 30 years, and I've been working there since I was 19 years of age, and for the past 4.5 years, I have been pastoring, and I have been enjoying it. I tell you, one of the hardest things I ever did was step out from being youth pastor, and my heart is just that is where it's at. And so that one of the hardest things I ever did as a servant of the Lord was to leave behind a group of young people that I love very, very much. But our church is just one great big youth department now, and people getting away with murder, and I'm just going, it'll be okay. We'll pay for it later. The only problem is now I have to come up with the money to pay for it later, and that's not too good. And Debbie was one of our teenagers back there, and her mom and dad did an excellent job, it's hard to believe, 8 years, right? 8 years you've been out here? Good night. Thank you for taking her off our hands. And there are just seven. And I'll tell you honestly, God has been good to our church. Debbie and probably about a dozen other ladies of her caliber are secretaries at just different churches that I get to go to. And I always have an inroad because I can call up and say, "What was that music we sang? What was that decoration? Send me a picture. I got to have an idea." So nothing's original with me. Don't come to the Longview Baptist Temple because you've already seen that, and I got it from here. But thank you very much for coming. And how many are tired? How many are tired right now? Okay. How many are wide awake? Good. How many did not hear a word I just said? That's what I thought. How many don't care what I just said? At least you're honest right there in the front row. So anyways, but there you go. How many are going to get up early in the morning? Hey, and you know where all liars go, don't you? To Ursha's house. And is it Ursha? Usha? Sushi! And sorry about that. Sushi, that's wrong right there, isn't it? And so I appreciate them. They are going to take me to the airport, and I'm meeting them here at 3:00 in the morning to go to the airport. And so I have to get back home. This next week is our youth conference. And so I have been, every afternoon I've been here, I've been working with them back home, and they're getting everything set up. And so you pray for us next week. And then the week after that, my family and I, we get to go on vacation for 2 weeks. And my wife's about ready to kill me. You know what the first week of my vacation is? I'm preaching a youth conference. And I promised her that we'll stay over and we'll take a weekend and a week and go goof off. And this is bad. I was preaching in Columbus, Ohio, and I said, that's okay, I don't like it either. And I was pretty. I said, "Sweetheart, would you like to go on vacation?" And she was like, "I would love to." I said, "Let's go to Columbus. You know, we've never been to..." I'd never told her that I'm preaching in a meeting. Did not tell her. Brother Ruck, never do this, okay? The ministry is not worth this. And so I said, "You might want to take along some church clothes because, you know, we're going to go to church while we're on vacation." So she took two outfits, and that was it. Because she thought Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I can re-wear one Wednesday night because we'll be at another church. And we landed, and I said, "We got church tonight, so we'll goof off during the day, and we got church tonight." And she was like, "Where?" And I was like, "Well, I'm kind of preaching down here." And there were 16 sermons the entire week. Monday ended on Friday night. We got to Tuesday morning, and we woke up, and she realized what I had done to her, and she said, "You're going to preaching. We're going to the amusement park." And so for that whole week, they went to the amusement park and left me. They came in Wednesday night, and they were just beat red. And the pastor kept asking, "So is your family okay?" I said, "Yeah, they're fine. They are fine. They're just kind of having to take it easy right now." So anyway, you pray for me. I don't get myself in trouble. Amen. So I think you've been great. Thank you, church, very much for letting me come. That last sermon, and I'll just tell you right now, will revolutionize your church. If every single teenager would just get you a stack of tracts and make up your mind that you're just going to pass them out. We let our first, second, and third graders take up our offerings on Sunday night. They helped me take up offerings for gleanings. And the third graders who promoted out, the five guys. So I took them to IHOP Sunday night after church, loaded up in the car, and we went to IHOP. And I put tracks in the back of all the pews, and I have every member take them three. I told them, I said, "I don't want to find one track in the pew. You take them, and you give them out during the week." Well, the little guys, we've been trying to get them to do what Brother Breedlove talked about. We were at IHOP, and each of them had four tracks, and it's like 25 tracks among us, and they were going around table to table putting one down, and he put one track down, gave it to the guy. He said, "Oh, Bob Gray." Well, he didn't know I was standing right behind the guy that gave him the track. He said, "Yes, you call my name?" And he went, "Oh, hi, how you doing?" And break the ice, and get you some tracks, and start passing them out. Start passing them out. You'd be amazed what would happen. And thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you, church. Let's give the church a hand because they have done an excellent job. And just an excellent, excellent job. This takes a lot of work to get this up. And you ruin a lot of things in a building during a youth conference to get it up. And so, Pastor, thank you very much. And the Breedlove children, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to see you, always a pleasure to enjoy you. And I'm missing there's one right back there. So didn't they do a great job singing? They did a great job. Give them a hand. They did a great job. And very, very a gifted family. God's been good to them. And unless you're a church member here or just somewhat knowledgeable, this truly is a family who has been through the fire, and they've come out the other side like gold. And you don't find that very, very often. And inspiration to me, especially Ethan, you're an inspiration to me. I will come back looking like you. He has AIDS, though. Pray for him. That's why he looks that way. So, just kidding. I got you. Psalms chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73. I was just kidding about that. Psalms chapter 73. And Scott, always good to see you. Always good to see you. I'll tell you this, though. Brother Tom did a better job than you did today. And he stayed awake. And so he did a better job. But you're staying awake more in church now, I hear, than ever before. And you're smiling more about the things of God more than you've ever smiled before. So I appreciate that. So anyways, I'll stop right there. I'm a proud youth pastor. And so Psalms chapter 73. And I want us to read verse 1 and verse number 2 together. I want to leave you tonight, and you're going to leave here, and you're going to go back to your homes. the decisions you've made, and I hope you've made some decisions, the decisions you've made to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to kind of tweak some things in your life, to kind of change some things, I hope you go back and I hope you keep it going. It should not be at youth conference to where you revisit decisions that you made last year. It ought to be one of those things to where you're building on who you are every single year. If you can do that in the Christian life, then you will end up a very mature Christian. Please listen to this, at a very young age. If you don't do that, you will be very old, still learning what you should have done back here. I'm going to give you a secret tonight. Psalm 73 and verse number 1. You ready? 1 and 2, let's read together out loud. Ready? Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Very interesting right there. In that very first phrase right there, we could stop and just preach that for a while. Truly, God is good. I don't think you and I realize the goodness of God that we live under. This country does not realize the goodness of God that it lives under. You let that trumpet sound, and you let every single believer leave this country, you wouldn't want to live in it. And the Bible is very clear that this will be a bad place to live. Because once the goodness of God is gone, then you, the people who live here, are in trouble. Everything you have tonight is the goodness of God. And when he said, truly, God is good to Israel. The psalmist was writing here about the fact that God had been so good to Israel. And we'll find out a little bit later on. But I want you to listen tonight as I preach on this subject. The sanctuary is the secret. The sanctuary is the secret. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's just a little bit unbelievable. I sat here while Brother Breedlove was preaching and realizing that we're coming to the end again. Lord, we're coming to the end of a lot of laughter. We're coming to the end of a lot of fun, a lot of enjoyment, making a lot of memories, making a lot of new friends, becoming reacquainted with old friends. Lord, the ability to watch young people mature into young adults, and where they were once being served, now they're serving. Lord, to watch servants of God sticking by the stuff. God, I really believe this, that everyone here, Lord, is in love with you. And they want what is right. It's a Friday night. They could be anywhere. And Lord, I ask now, help me to be a blessing. Help me to do my part. May everyone listen to everything I'm about to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I really will not give you any points tonight, so if you're accustomed to taking notes, I'm going to kind of ask you just kind of fold up your notebook and listen very, very closely. Every Christian that has ever gone bad, and I'll say that statement again, every Christian that has ever gone bad, it started in their heart. It started in their mind. It started at the center of who they were. They started to compare the life they are living with the life of those who were not like them. They would drive to church and they would look out the window. And it was almost like it was the window of their life. And every teenager, without exception, that has been raised in a Baptist church, that has gone to the devil, as we put it, it all started when they saw something out the window that was opposite of what they had inside the car. The psalmist is telling us a story in Psalm 73, and very important you keep your Bible open right there. The psalmist is telling us a story about himself. He said this, I was going along in verse number 1, and God was good. I was ignorant to the world around me. I was of a clean heart. I knew the goodness of God. I enjoyed the family as a first grader. I enjoyed church as a second grader. I enjoyed all the music and the Patch the Pirates and all those kind of music. And I enjoyed all the singing along in the car and the happiness at the home and everything going down on down at the church. I enjoyed the big days. I enjoyed the slide coming down the hill. And truly, he said, God was good to us. Then he said this, but as for me, he said, here I am, and God's being good to Israel. Everyone's enjoying it. But here I am in the middle of this goodness, in the middle of people who were enjoying the Almighty. And he said in verse number 2, look at it, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I mean, in a land of no smoking, he almost ruined his life. In a land of no bad music, he almost ruined his life. I mean, in a land of no bad pictures, he almost ruined his life. I mean, in a land where dad was a deacon and mom a Sunday school teacher, he almost ruined his life. I mean, in a land where mom and dad loved and provided and protected him, he almost ruined his life. In a land where they won souls to the Lord, he almost ruined his life. In a land where the pastor was a hellfire, damnation preacher and loved them, and counseled them and was there for them, he almost ruined his life. In a land where the best preaching they would ever hear against worldly clothes, and he was starting in his heart to want those worldly fashions, and he wanted the practices that came along with the fashion district of life, he almost ruined his life. In a land where they preached that men and women should not touch, and although he knew the joy from seeing his mom and dad do it right in marriage, in his heart, he wanted to become close to those of the opposite gender, and he almost ruined his life. In a land of the right kind of music, he almost ruined his life. In a land of righteousness and truth, he almost ruined his life. He was living in a virtual utopia. He was living in a place to where there was no bad. He said, I was living in a land that God had been good to us. And whenever you think you got it bad, listen to me, young person, you don't have it bad right now. You are sitting inside a church house on Friday night, and you actually want to be here. God has been good to you. And when Brother Breedlove asked how many of you have been raised your life in a Christian home, I was amazed at how many hands went up. Listen to me, if you've made it to this point in your life, then you ought to be able to stand up and say, God truly has been good to us. But even in the middle of that, the psalmist said, I almost ruined my life. What was it that almost caused this psalmist to ruin his life and his future for living for God? Hey, listen to this. It was not what was in the land that made him almost go bad. It was what it was in his heart that almost ruined his life. I want you to go to Psalm 73 and verse 3. Stay in the chapter because here we go. He said this, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know what started happening on the inside? He started looking at everything people were doing on the outside. And guess what he said? In his heart, he became very envious. In his heart, he said, I don't understand this. I want what they have. And in his heart, he started wanting their laughter. And he started wanting their freedom. He started looking at them and then comparing their good time to his good time. And it seemed like they had a better time than what he had. And the psalmist in the middle of a great land and a great family started to say this, I want what the heathen have. And on the inside of his heart, he started to become envious and he started to become very jealous. There were four things that he was looking at that made him want the world and want envy. Look at it, Psalm 73 and verse number 3. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know what he said? He said, here I am living in good land, and yes, we have laughter, and yes, we have good times, and yes, we wrap everybody up with duct tape, and yes, we blow up a balloon, and yes, we stick it to the duct tape, and okay, so we had these things that we made into an X, and we all four wrote team on the paper, and okay, so we had these little chopsticks we ate Skittles with and M&Ms with. Oh, okay, I understand that, but they're much happier than we are. And when you leave here tonight, you're going to see young people in the next couple weeks that you're going to say, but they're much happier. The psalmist said, when I looked at their prosperity and I looked at how happy they were, I said to myself, that's what I want. I want their happiness. Look at verse number 4. He said this, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is what? Firm. You know what he said? Not only are they happy, but they're powerful people. Anything they want to do, they can do. Any place they want to go, they can go. Anybody they want to hang out with, they can hang out with. He said they are happy. They are very powerful people. They've got that air of superiority. I'm just a lowly church kid. I just go to church on Sunday. They get to do whatever they want to do. Look at verse number 5. They are not in trouble as other men. Very interesting, that word trouble. You know what that trouble means? Here's what it means. Work. They don't have to work like everybody else. I got to work. I got to mow the lawn. They don't have to mow the lawn. I got to do chores. They don't have to do chores. I have to get up early. They get to sleep in. I have to earn my money if I want it. They go to dad and dad just give them the money. Have you ever pulled up next to somebody and see the 16-year-old kid in a brand new car? And you're thinking to yourself, that's not fair. That's not fair. I deserve the brand new car. And some of you are waiting on your dad to get you that brand new car. I hope he gets you a Yugo. Amen? That hurts me when y'all laugh about me with my Yugo. Brother Tom, I pulled up in your potato out there, and Brother Watkins said, Miss Watkins said, it's a Yugo. And I wouldn't, never mind. And they said, they're happier than I am. They are more prosperous than I am. The psalmist said they don't have to work for anything. Everything gets handed to them. If they want something new, daddy go puts it on the credit card. If they want something more expensive, daddy goes down and gets it for them. And he said, I'm getting a little bit tired of living in this good land and being a good little Christian and being a good little person. And I can't wait till I get out of here to go be as happy as they are and to be as powerful as they are and to have everything like they have, and they don't have to work for it. Then look what he said in the same verse, the very last. Neither are they plagued like other men. You know what this simply means? It means this in the Hebrew. Are you ready? No one can lay a hand on them. They literally are untouchable. You've seen them like I've seen them. A teenager with the mom in the store, and the mama says, hey, come here. Stop, mom. Stop talking to me. I'll do what I want to do. How many have ever seen teenagers like that? They blow off mom and dad. And if you're not careful, you're sitting there going, man, I would love to tell my mom and dad that. Let me tell you something. I've told my father off 1,000 times behind his back. My mom one time at 16 told me what to do, and I turned around and walked off, and I was like, I'll tell you right now. You ain't going to tell me what to do. And who do you think you are, woman? I'll just tell you right now. And I'm walking away from her, all of a sudden, bam, she caught me right on the side of the ear. And I was like, what was that? She said, let me tell you something. Don't you ever backtalk me walking away. She said, and number two, if you ever do, don't do it with a mirror in front of you. She said, I read lips backwards. My mama, she's a tough cookie now. That's all there is to it. But you know what the psalmist was saying? Here I am riding this chariot down life. I'm smart now because I want to be like the heathen. They're happier than I am. They have more than I have. They have it all. They get to do whatever they want to do, and no one tells them what to do. They're telling the adults what to do. And that's the kind of life that I want. I want to be happy. I want to be powerful. I don't want to have to work for anything that I have. I want to be untouchable by people around me. And then as insult upon insult, look at how he started to feel on the inside. And after seeing how happy they were and how they could make their own decisions and they didn't have to work and no one could tell them what to do, then the psalmist started looking at his own life. Here's what he said. Look at verse 12. Look at it. Look at it. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in what? Interesting. And washed my hands in what? For all the day long have I been and chastened every what? My mama's always nagging at me. My mama's always telling me what to do. It's yeah. She just won't shut up. In the morning, every morning, get out of the bed. Did you make your bed? I slept on the second floor until I got smart, moved to the bottom floor. But my mama would say, I don't hear your feet. So I would throw books on the ground. And then she would say, that's a book. I want to hear your feet. And she would come to the end of the stairs. Are you up? Did you brush your teeth? Did you comb your hair? Did you use deodorant? Did you wash your face? Did you take a shower? Do you have your shoes on? Do you have your lunch? Are you going to come home? What are you doing after school? Who are you eating lunch with? What are you doing? And yeah. And you know what the psalmist was saying? They tell me what to do. I'm always getting told what to do. Look at verse number 15. And if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He said, even if I do get to speak my mind, I have to apologize. Even if I do man up and say, I don't like her. Now you apologize. Even if I do say something against my sister. Now you apologize to her. One time, my daughter Deanna and my son Jordan got into it. You know how brothers and sisters are. Sisters are always the curse to brothers. Can I get a witness on that one right there? It's not our fault. Because daddy always says, you can't hit a woman. My daddy said, you never hit a lady. I said, that's okay. She's not one. I'm fixing to knock her out. One time Deanna and Jordan got into it. And I mean, like, Deanna is like a freshman in high school, and Jordan's still in junior in late grade school. And I said, Deanna, you're in high school. What are you doing arguing with a little twerp? But they kept going at it. I said, that did it. I'm done. We are done. Hold hands. And they had to hold hands. And I said, you will do that tomorrow morning at church. I'll teach you. The next day at church, he went with her to teen Sunday school holding her hand. They never fought again. And do you know what the psalmist is saying? I can't get away with speaking my mind. They get to cuss out their mom and dad don't do anything. They get to say exactly what they think. I don't like the food. No, when I start saying I don't like this, I have to apologize. You know how embarrassing it is, the psalmist was basically saying, to come back as a teenage guy, 6'8", and good-looking guy, and come back and say, I'm sorry. He said, look at it. I will speak thus, and behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Look at verse 16. When I thought to know this, we're getting into the sermon now, it was too painful for me. You know what he said? I started having anxiety about this. They're having all the fun. They're getting away with it all. They're getting to say whatever they want to say. I hear them in Walmart. I hear them at the mall. I see them when they have nobody around. They can do whatever they want to. And I have to stay close to mom and dad. And I got to check in. And I can't go anywhere without a chaperone. And I got to stay with my brother and my sister. He said, I hate it. He said, when I thought to know that here I am trying to keep myself pure, and I'm trying to keep myself right, and I'm trying to be that good little Christian in the children of God. I'm trying to be that good little church person. He said, and I see everybody else getting away with it. He said, I couldn't take it anymore. And I want it out. And young people, here comes that pivotal point to where either you make or break yourself in days to come. Where was the restraint to keep the psalmist from becoming like the heathen. Well, what was it that kept him back? Dad? Mom? No way. Ethan and Andrew, if you'll come up here. What was it that kept the psalmist from ruining his life? It was the same thing that you're going to have to do to keep yourself from becoming very envious about what the world has to offer. Please listen to me, teenager. You can be raised in a good home and go to a good church and blow your life wide open unless you learn the secret, and it's found in verse number 17. I want you to look at it. Verse number 17. Look at it. Until I went into the sanctuary. Go ahead, stretch it out. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, look at it, then understood I there what? Please, this is what I'm about to tell you. There are no amount of words that I can paint to you to tell you how evil this world is and how their laughter runs out and how that being disrespectful to your parents carries over into being disrespectful to your boss and you'll lose your job. I cannot tell you how that not working for what you have will do nothing but make you a welfare adult, not an honest worker. And the only way, just make a tent, put this up, that right there, make a tent so I can get underneath of it, drop this, come down about a foot in, Andrew, there you go, just like this, there you go, hold it up high. You know what he said, drop it just a tad. You know what he said? I'm sitting over here and I'm just envious at everything I see. I don't want to be a good little Christian kid. I don't want to be the kind of person that I have to go to church and they're happy. They get all the money they want. They get to stay out as long as they want. They get to say anything they want to and nobody corrects them. He said, until I did one thing. You know what it was? He said, until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. And I spent some time with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I love you. Lord, I really want what they have. I want to be as happy as they are. And Lord, they don't get to do anything. And nobody tells them to be quiet. He said, it wasn't until I went to the sanctuary of the Lord that when I looked back out at this world, then I understood their end. Young people, I can tell you and tell you and tell you and tell you that one night in this world will destroy your purity for the rest of your life and will make you hate yourself. And I can tell you and tell you and tell you that one party outside the house, you'll regret it to the day you die. But that won't convince you. The only thing that will convince you is you've got to go into the sanctuary of the Lord, and that's the secret. Spending time in the sanctuary, walking up and down in the sanctuary with God, and spending time in His Word. Then when you come out, then you understand that this world is a bunch of losers. It's not until you spend time with God that God gives you some discernment to see that this world is a bunch of losers. In fact, if you'll look, it's very interesting here what David and what the psalmist says. Look at it, verse number 8. Look at it. He said, until I went to the sanctuary of the Lord. In verse number 17, look at verse number 8. Look at it. He comes back and says this. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. He said, they can do whatever they want to, and I'm envious of that until I went to the sanctuary. Then look at verse number 18. Look at it. He said, once I came out of the sanctuary, then I knew this. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How are they be brought into desolation as in a what? Moment. They are utterly consumed with what? Tares. It doesn't matter what they're acting like. God says, when you spend time with me, I'll let you know that their end is destruction. And I have set them on slippery places, and they're full of terror.
The only thing that's going to keep you from going into the world is for you to have your own personal little sanctuary that you set up. Young people, this is just not a book to carry to church. This is a book you're supposed to read. And if I ask you how many times you've read it this past week on your own, not in church, on your own, you hear stories of Brother Breedlove spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's almost like a whistle at a dog's ear. You turn it to the side, and you have no idea what he's talking about. You say, well, Brother Gray, where do you get your confidence to do what you do and stand up for the Lord? I'll tell you where it is. Are you ready? It's because I disappear to the sanctuary, and I spend time with God, and then all of a sudden, I come out of here with such a confidence in knowing this. Everybody who drinks, they're wasting their money, and they're going to vomit their life away. Everybody who goes to a party, they're going to lose their virginity. At some point, you mark it down, because the devil's only after one thing. He's after to destroy. He came to destroy. He came to tear apart. And he came to make fools out of you. And I'm going to beg you, get your own sanctuary to where every day it's a big deal to you to get your Bible and spend time with the Lord. Get your own sanctuary. Let me tell you something. Thanks, guys. I'll take it from here. Let go. Get your own sanctuary. And when you are the kind of person to where you're like, man, Lord, I sure do love you. Lord, it sure is good to spend time with you this morning. Lord, I'm reading your word, and I'll find your word in just a second, Lord. And I read about how those who forget God are turned into hell. And I read about those who go to the wine and the mixed wine, how they have problems. And then when I come out of my sanctuary, then guess what? I really don't care what man thinks. You want to know why? Because I've already met with God. So why do I really care how bold they are? And when you and I become the kind of teenagers to where we get our own little sanctuary, and you and I spend time with God, then nobody has to pump you up. Nobody has to keep you going. Nobody has to make you keep your, thanks guys, nobody has to make you keep your commitments. Nobody has to make sure you listen to the right kind of music. Nobody has to make sure you watch the right kind of TV show. No one has to make sure, Brother and Miss Breedlove and I were talking about today. Do you know something? That the Holy Ghost of God living on the inside of you, if you will spend time with God, he'll tell you how to dress, and he'll tell you how to act, and he'll tell you what to say, and he'll tell you what not to say. But if you're sitting here right now, and you say, I just don't have the restraint to stay away from the world, then I say to you, turn this back on. Then I say to you that what you're lacking is your own little personal sanctuary. And when I meet with the Lord, sorry about that. And when I meet with the Lord, then I really don't care what everybody else thinks. You see, when you meet with God, then you can walk through life going, I met with the King of Kings, you don't bother me. Your laughter's hollow. You think you're a big deal with beer in your hand. And you're sitting there, you're drinking this beer, and you're really cool. You know what my Bible says? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God said, you're going to vomit. Yes, Lord. God said, you farts are going to get a disease. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You say, do you believe in divine revelation? Absolutely. It's found in God's word, and you can get divine revelation every single day. I have never in my life seen more wimpified guys than I have in this generation. You can't walk like a man, you can't talk like a man, you can't sit like a man, you can't respond like a man, everything, whatever. And why do you think the workforce is in such sad shape? Because we have people doing it their way instead of God's way.
But there's something about meeting with God. You say, well, I want to be mature. Let me tell you something. Meeting with God will make you so mature. No. That the sanctuary is the secret. You say, what is that separation between young people who make it for God and young people who bail on God? Only one reason. They don't get in that book every single day. If God has done something in your heart to where you're sitting here going, I do not want to be like the world. I do not want to be like the world. I do not want to end up ruining my life. Then I'm going to tell you the secret was this. The psalmist said, I really wanted the world. I wanted everything with the world. They're having so much fun. They can say whatever they want to. They can do whatever they want to. They don't have to pay for nothing. He said, until I started meeting with God, then I understood. Four things will happen to you when you go to meet with the sanctuary and with the Lord. Are you ready? First of all, you'll get a person that you love. When I meet with the Lord every single day, I feel like a Jewish guy. When I meet with the Lord every single day, do you know what I come out? I come out with a person that I love. I like you, but I don't love you. I know you're hurt, aren't you? And in the people that I have met through my life that I would consider important people, no one compares to Jesus Christ. Nobody. Nobody. The second thing you'll get is a purpose. When you meet with the Lord, you'll get a purpose. You know what your purpose is? Your purpose right now is to glorify God. And then you'll get a plan. You know what your plan is? Get the gospel to the entire world. That's why I left you here. And I've noticed this. When there's a lack of boldness on the part of a teenager, it's because they're not spending time with the Lord. And when you can't make right decisions, you're not spending time with the Lord. And when you can't be bold for God, you're not spending time with the Lord. The number one question in my house to the children when they were growing up, did you read your Bible today? Did you read your Bible? Every teenager, did you read your Bible? Hey, how you doing? Did you read your Bible this week? What about your Bible are you reading? And if you can read that Bible and meet with God, let me tell you something. Get alone with the Lord. Shut off the cell phone, shut off the video games, and just take that book right there. And it will so change you when you meet with the Lord. You won't be the same. You know what my fear is? Here's my fear. Is that the world's going to look better to you than God looks to you. Something happens when you get to be about 17 or 18. You know what happens? You really feel like that they're having more fun and that you're going to miss out. I hate to tell you this. They're missing out. Amen. Do you know why they're having to work 2 and 3 jobs to pay for 2 and 3 sets of kids? Do you know why single mothers are having now to go to work instead of staying at home? It's because there's a man out there who wouldn't take care of his children. I want you to think about it. Anybody can make a baby. It takes a real man to father and to take care of a son and a daughter. You ought to be stronger in years to come than you are right now. And I'll tell you what the difference is. Are you ready? The difference is this. Every morning, disappear and make up your mind you are going to be the kind of teenager that you are going to spend time with the Lord. You know what I told my mom when I was 17? Now, Mom, from 6 o'clock to 6:30, please don't call me. Why? What are you going to be doing? Mom, I'm going to read my Bible. And, Mom, I'm going to walk with the Lord. Amen. And you know what my mom would do? Bless her heart. She would come get me up at 5. And she would say, son, get up and get in the shower. Get wide awake. I'll go down and cook your breakfast. And then my godly mother would bring up my breakfast on a tray and sit it on my desk I had made. And every morning for 30 minutes, I would take my Bible and I would just go meet with the Lord. And I would meet with him and I would say, God, I sure do need you. Lord, I want to know your word and I want to know you. And I would read his word and then I'd get on my knees and go through my feeble prayer list and say, God, I want to be different today. Lord, I'm going to school and I want to be different. And after that 30 minutes, I'd come walking out of my room and I'd go face the day. The next morning, I'd get up. My mom would come wake me up. 6 o'clock on the nose. I would go back to my sanctuary and I would meet with God and say, God, here I am again. And Lord, would you teach me your word? And Lord, what does this mean right here? And Holy Spirit, you live on the inside of me. Day after day, I'd go meet with the Lord. Morning after morning, I'd go meet with the Lord. 18th birthday, I would meet with the Lord. My 19th birthday, I would meet with the Lord. I got married the week of our honeymoon. I told my wife, now, sweetheart, in the morning, I have to go meet with somebody. And who is that? Somebody I've been in love with for years. I'm in love. I mean, I like you and I love you, but I'm in love. And do you know that when I finally told her who it was, one, she was very relieved. During our honeymoon, in the morning, she would sit in her chair, I would sit in mine, and we would go meet with the Lord. There have been times I really didn't know what to do, except go back to the sanctuary and say, God, my back's up against the wall, and I have no idea what I'm going to do. There is nothing that this world has that I want. I don't think they're cool. I don't think they're hot. I don't like their cars. I don't like the way they live. They have no idea. And the only way you're going to stay straight is you have to have a sanctuary. And you have to stop fooling around with being a Christian and get down to business. I'm going to ask a very telling question. Don't answer out loud. Did anybody catch you at the hotel reading your Bible? Did you catch anybody trying to spend time with the Lord and kind of made fun of them? Or was it all games? Right. At any time, did you take your Bible and disappear maybe? And go down and sit on the stairwell? I've been on enough teen trips in 22 years. Enough of them to know this. That I can tell the teenagers who will make it in life, because they are the teenagers that say, Brother Bob, could I disappear real quick? And could I just go sit on the stairs over here? And I would walk down as I was checking on things, and I would catch them with their Bible open, and I would catch them reading their Bible. I would see them with a pen in their hand, and they would be underlining things. I would watch them as we go to camp, and in the morning, they would be out walking a field. And I knew what they were doing. One time I was myself walking with the Lord at camp in Quitman. And I was walking around the lake. And I had kind of cut back in a cove to the left. And as I was cutting back in the cove to the left and was just praying and meditating on what God had showed me in his word that morning, I came across a senior in high school. And he was on his knees. And he was saying, Dear God, I'm going to graduate from high school. I got 9 months. And I have no idea what I'm going to do. God, you've got to tell me. I backed away and I, graduation time, when I shook his hand, I said, 9 months ago, I caught you at camp on your knees with God. And I said, I appreciate that. He said, Brother Bob, when I was a sophomore in high school, I made up my mind that every morning I was going to meet with the Lord. Listen to me, young people. It's the only thing that's going to carry you through. You won't keep your commitments if you don't spend time with God. And they may think you're weird, but you spend time with God. And they may think you're nuts, but you get your Bible and you spend time with God. And you let God change you from the inside out. And when He changes you, you'll always think this world's a little bit weird. When I even smell beer, it's like, who in their right mind? It doesn't even look good. It doesn't even smell good. And the look on their face when they drink it is... And then they always go, boy, that was good. Now that I don't understand. Listen to me. The world gives you pleasure now, but the payoff is later. God gives you wisdom now to stay out of the devil's playground. Was not a bombastic sermon, and I'm done. But I'm going to tell you right now. Let me ask you a question. Do you spend time with God? Or is that Bible just a filing cabinet? Come on, y'all know. I promise you, half the women in my church, if you did that, their fifth son would fall out. It's a filing cabinet. All the papers are in there. All the sermon, you know, it's chewing gum wrappers. This is my preaching Bible. Can I tell you something? My study Bible is, you don't touch my wife, you don't touch my Bible. If you ever find my Bible laying around, don't touch it. Put my Bible down. That's my Bible. Put my wife down. That's my wife. And put my Bible down. That's my Bible. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you to organize your time with the Lord. I'm going to ask you to get a little place in your room. I'm going to ask you to get a little desk. I'm going to ask you to get your Bible. I'm going to ask you to let everybody around you know, I just need to let you know, at this time, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And when your mom and dad faint, pick them back up and tell them, at this time, I want to spend time with the Lord. Now, they'll make fun of you. People will make fun of you. People will laugh at you. But it doesn't matter. Tomorrow morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll get on the plane. When I get to the airport, I'll disappear to a little never been to Jacksonville. Twice I've been there. But this time, already coming out the plane, I already found my place for tomorrow morning. And I'm going to sit down and take my Bible. And I am literally going to spend time with the Lord. And But look at me. I'm used to this. Okay? I'm used to being a nut in the middle of a restaurant. Oh, that's good. Hey, man, that's great. What'd you say? Oh, I'm just reading my Bible. Excellent. I'm used to being a nut. You want to know why? Because I've done it for so long, it is so second nature to me to take my Bible out and just read it. Don't hide. Read it. Because you won't keep your commitment. No way. This is fun. We have had a great time, but that won't help you keep your commitment. You have laughed, and you're so tired right now, you're laughing through your half-closed eyelid. You guys are so respectful that you're saying amen half asleep. Amen, amen. The workers right now are comatose. Literally, they are sitting there. Miss Breedlove is drunk right now. You know what her thought is? Would you stop? Come on. We got stuff we got to do. And you know, please listen to me. I'm going to encourage you that between right now and next year at the youth conference, you need to be able to say, you know what? I made time every morning. Made time every morning. Three things I would suggest, and then I'm done. Number one, get your own study Bible. Stop asking for video games for your birthday and tell your parents, I want a great study Bible. I mean a leather-bound Bible that you can take notes in. A great Bible. a King James Bible. Because truly these are the words of life. Second thing I would do is I would get me a place that every day you're going to promise God, I'm going to show up right there to spend time with you. And I'm going to read the Bible. Then the third thing, are you ready? Ask him to teach you about his word. How many are saved? Raise your hand. You're saved? He lives in you. Ask him to teach you his word. I was studying the Bible 3 weeks ago. And I was like, and honestly, I was like, Lord, I don't got a clue what that means. Not a clue. You got to help me. Do you know what? I read the next three verses. I spoke too soon. Because the next three verses told me what that verse ahead of him. Ask him to teach you. The author lives on the inside of you. You know how come you can say it's a grand thing to be a Christian? It's the best thing I know. Is because you're always spending time with him. Now, I'm not saying you get a sheet, put it over your head, and walk around your house. Okay? Because that would be a little bit weird. But I am saying, make up your mind, you're going to spend time with the Lord. How many have made a decision this week? Would you raise your hand? Made a decision. Would you stand to your feet, teenager, if you made a decision? Would you do that? Pianists and organists, would you come, please? Musicians, would you come? Look right up here, teenagers. Look right up here. You'll never keep them. Decisions are a dime a dozen if you don't have someone to help you keep them. I can't go with you. Nobody can go with you. That's why you have to spend time with the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask you this question as you're standing, teenager. I'm going to ask you this question. How many would say this, Brother Gray? I'm going to be one teenager. You're looking at one teenager. That I'm going to get serious about my time with the Lord. And I am going to go to the sanctuary. I'm going to create a sanctuary. I'm going to start reading my Bible every single day. And that's going to be my goal. Would you raise your hand? You say, that's me. I'm going to make time for the Lord every single day. Then as the musicians play, I want you to come find a place at the altar and let the Lord know that I am going to make time for the Lord. Take your time, teenagers. Take your time. Take your time. I'm going to pray with you here in just a moment, so please don't go back yet. Just stay right where you're at. Let me pray for you. Thank you, musicians. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for all that you've done. Lord, these young people kneeling are not in response to my message. They're in response to what you've spoken to their heart about. Holy Spirit, you live on the inside. And Lord, the only way that we're going to find the stamina that we need is just simply to read the Bible. God, I pray that you'll bless us. Lord, as we meet with you, would you come down and build us? Lord, as we meet with you, would you come down and figure us out? Lord, these teenagers are getting ready to go on a journey like they've never been on before. Lord, I'm afraid that we've neglected time with you. God, I pray that you'd help these young people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.